We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Neil Brown discusses today's practice inside the stadium. That's coming up right after this.
It's almost time for West Virginia football at Milan Pushkar Stadium.
That kick is good! West Virginia wins it!
Don't miss your chance to be a part of a team.
Up the sideline, 25-30, 35-40, it's a fundraiser, there he goes!
Season tickets are on sale now at WVUGame.com and 1-800-WVU-GAME.
He's in the end zone, it's a touchdown!
Become a Mountaineer today.
All right, thanks for being on. I learned while we were at practice today that a legend from my home state passed away. So condolences to Howard Schellenberger family. You know, a legend. I grew up listening to my granddad talk about stories about Coach Schellenberger as a player. He was fortunate enough to coach him in an all-star game in the state of Kentucky there. And then obviously the whole time I was growing up, was coaching and was at Louisville. And then had an opportunity to play against him when we were at Troy, and he was head coach at Florida Atlantic. So I always thought a lot of him, a pioneer in coaching, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So just wanted to mention that as we start off here. Beautiful day in Morgantown. Y'all heard me say this before. Spring practice, one of my favorite times of the year. Thought our guys flew around today. They enjoyed y'all being there. So the members of the media are there. Appreciate y'all coming out. We'll try to do that when we're in the stadium. And so I want to start off just to address the Ty Key's departure. Mutual separation, and it's a lot like some relationships that I'm sure everyone on here has been in. It just gets to a point where it's best for both parties, and that's kind of where we were. Nothing to say negative to say about him. Had really good 2 years here, being productive on the field, and we'll wish him the best. This isn't a deal where I'm going to sit here and gripe and complain about the portal. I think there's arguments on both sides, for and against. It's changed college athletics. It's made the jobs of coaches harder, but we're well compensated and we'll figure it out. And I think the other thing important to note is, the departures we've had, we've really only had one, what I would call a surprise, and that was Drayshon earlier in the spring. The rest of them were, you can kind of see coming. And To this point, we've gained more than we've lost. We've got to continue to do a good job. You know, we've got at least one that's committed that'll join us. We got three other spots that we hope to fill through the portal or late high school or junior college. So our class is still going to be worked on. We'll need to address a couple spots at defensive back. We've done that linebacker. We hope to add another one there. And so that's kind of where we're at, but no real ill feelings on my end. Moving on, great day back in the stadium. We're going to spend our Saturdays in the stadium. Take great pride in performing well there. And I don't think that happens by accident. We're able to win them all at home last year, and that's always the goal. And I think it's just like any other habit, you get in a habit of performing well when you go in the stadium, and that's what we hope to do here. Last day of playing flag football today, really hard to evaluate anybody other than the skill players. I thought day one, after watching the film, the offense clearly had the better day. The quarterbacks, you know, really, really did a nice job throwing, and I thought our receivers had a nice day. Today, I thought the defense clearly won when we got into our team and our 7-on-7 periods. And in particular, our defensive backs had a couple interceptions and had a productive day. So when you get to a point where you think you've got a good football team, there's going to be some give and take, and hope to see the competitive spirit continue as we move forward. So with that, I'll take questions.
Please use the raised hand feature for your question. Our first question comes from Greg Hunter.
So, Neil, some of the positions that we saw today, start with the offensive line. We've got a chance to see that. Some mixing and matching in terms of guys playing different spots. Doug Nestor played tackle. Several guys played center. So just what have you seen of that unit overall so far?
Yeah, we're gonna try to find our best five out there. And in the process of doing this, like we talked about, I think on Wednesday when we practiced after first practice, is – we're going to move guys around, try to create some versatility during spring ball. You know, at center, Zach Frazier, James Gomitter, Jordan White are all going to get snaps there. Doug Nestor, who you talked about, he's going to get snaps at guard and tackle. Same with Hughes and Parker Moore. Brandon Yates probably won't move us around as much. But all those guys that are in the mix there are going to play multiple spots.
Dean Cummings.
Hey, Neil. Scotty obviously is a guy that can fill in there at spear for you. Who else do you got? And kind of is your plan still to move a lot of those guys around and find different fits for them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're definitely going to move them around. And we got guys that can play multiple spots. I think that spear position, you know, just through the years, it's been two different body types. We can move a third corner in there and play, or you can put your third or fourth safety in there and play. And really how we dictate the spear is the edge of our defense to the field a lot. And a lot of plays get funneled out to them. If you're playing a safety body, if we're playing more of a corner body, then we change our coverage and we make somebody else the edge of the defense to the field, whether it's a Mike linebacker, or we can drop our safety in there and he can be the edge to the field. So we got flexibility with our defensive calls. We also have some versatility with the guys that we can move around. Scotty played there in the bowl game. Obviously a different style of offense, but he played there in the bowl game. He can play there. Alonzo Adai can play there. Jackie Matthews can bump in there and play. And so we're going to continue to – and the hope is all these returners, the guys that are returning, that they'll learn how to play the entire shell. And so we're going to continue to build as we go through.
Next question from Kirsten of WVU News.
Hey, Coach. So I'm going to pivot and ask you a couple questions about Shane Lyons. This past year, he was the chairman of the NCAA's Football Oversight Committee. How have you seen the committee's work impact the football program?
Well, you know, behind the scenes, Shane and his football oversight group that he led made a lot of the return to play decisions, and I'll add that I think the thoughts and then the communication and how we went to returning to play after that long break I thought that went extremely well, and kudos to him and that group. He spent a lot of time on that, you know, and it's been an ongoing deal. I mean, there's a lot of questions about how we're going to get back if recruiting goes live, or if you can have camps or official visits after this dead period that's in place right now. And you talk about college football, it's unique. I don't know if there's any other, just because with the group of five, power five, the conference commissioners, just all the pieces that are in play in college football makes it extremely difficult for the decision-making people. And I think Shane's done a phenomenal job navigating that and leading that oversight. It's been a huge benefit to have him here because he and I are able to have some good communication. He gets feedback from us as coaches. But I can't say enough. I think he and the entire oversight group have done a tremendous job helping the game through a really strenuous time.
And lastly, how have you seen the committee's how do you think his continued work as chair will impact spring ball coming up and then the upcoming 2021 season?
Well, I don't know if it'll impact spring ball, but I do think kind of the next thing that's in that college football, you know, is the that will change, I think, is going to be the fall preseason camp calendar and how many days you can have contact, and are we going to go back and have OTA style workouts leading into practice? Because I think there's some really strong arguments why you should do that if you look at the injury data. So I think that's the next period. And then what's the recruiting calendar look like moving forward? Because I think we've proven that there's some things that you can do virtually that maybe we can increase the quality of life for those student athletes who are getting recruited and for the assistant coaches that are doing a lot of the recruiting.
Next question from Kevin Kinder.
As you've discussed that the spring is a time of, you know, personal improvement, technique, fundamentals, those things. Can you give us an idea of how that process plays out, like over a practice, an off day, and going to the next practice? Like, you know, you watch film, position coaches go over with it, and then how that may shape practice plans the next time out?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Kevin. And I'm impressed with the hair. Now, you're giving Hugs a run for his money with that. I'm impressed. So here's what we do is I've got a kind of a sketch of a plan for 15 practices. And basically we're going a little bit later. And so we're probably not going to go as much contact during this spring as we've done so in the past. And there's a couple different reasons for that. The first one is we're a little bit older. Second one is we're a little bit thinner, but we're going later than we normally do. So I think we've got to be careful, just because if somebody were to get injured, it's tight on a turnaround schedule. So I've got a brief plan. Basically what we're going to do, we went helmets the first 2 days, cause that's the rules. And then we're going to have a physical week next week. I don't know if we'll tackle to the ground, but we're going to do some good thud practices. And we're going to go Thursday morning, then give them a break. We don't have a traditional spring break in this academic calendar, but we're going to give our guys basically from Thursday after practice until Monday evening, and we won't practice again until Wednesday. So give them a break there, and then that'll give us five practices. So we'll kind of see where we're at after those five, and then during that break kind of regroup and plan the last 10. But really what we're looking for is have a more physical work kind of in the middle, early on, like the first 2 days we weren't, and then kind of ending with less physicality, even though we have a spring game, kind of the thought process ending. But yeah, for instance, I'll give you a great example. So to kind of finish your question is today, we had 2-point plays was a point of emphasis. Okay. And so we'll go in here and watch those. Now, right now, the practice schedule on Monday doesn't include a 2-point segment, but I don't think – I may see something on video that I didn't see on the field, but I didn't think we played those particularly well on either side. So we'll add those back in. We'll do some kind of competition 2-point play period on Monday to kind of teach off of today's practice.
Ryan Pritt.
And I wanted to ask you about the wide receivers. Obviously, there was some good and bad last year. You know, the drops are pretty well known now. Just wondering if there's anything other than just reps you can do to try to fix that, especially in the spring, and just where are those guys in terms of that? Are you pretty confident you've got some of those issues fixed?
I don't know if you're confident until you go out there and do it in a game setting. You know, it's I think we're talented in that room. I think the main challenge for us is we've got to, and you've heard me talk about this on Thursday, or on Wednesday, excuse me, is we've got to do a better job controlling our emotions and our response to when things do go poorly. They've got to be better. We can't let one mistake or one drop pass affect another play. And so we've got to be able to control our emotions. We've got to show growth. Those guys have had great winters. You know, you all saw a lot of them today. I mean, Winston Wright looks significantly different. Bryce Wheaton, Sam James. Look significantly different than they did when you saw them after the bowl game. Sean Ryan is in that same. And so we have talent in that room. It's not a talent issue. We've got to be more consistent. Some of those guys, and I would say a lot of those guys have been pressed into playing before they were probably physically ready. And sometimes that's good. And sometimes it's not. And so they put a lot of work in catching the ball over the break. But until we get into the fall and they do it in the games, you know, probably shouldn't forecast.
John Antoni.
I thought I was going to be the last question. I thought you'd end with this, but I see Greg's up there. Who you like tonight in the Sweet 16? I know you're a big college basketball fan. Who are you pulling for?
Yeah, you know, I do like college basketball. You know, I like watching the games. It's good for me because my daughter, my oldest daughter, Adam, she's a big basketball fan right now too. So you can kind of watch. And so I've enjoyed the tournament kind of watching with her and going. I think we made every one but one of the home games that we could go to here. So to me, what you see in this tournament is you're seeing a lot of the older teams that have experience. And then I think it's turned into such a shooter's game. You know, it's a shooter's game. And I think if you have people that can create their own shots, then you got a real possibility. And so as far as who's going to win it, I don't know. I don't put myself out there, but I do like it. I'm a big professional basketball fan too. I watch a lot of NBA basketball. Some of that's just because when I'm up, some of those games play later. But I do, I enjoy basketball. I think there's some real, you know, strategy involved. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes Hug special is I don't think people talk, you know, how he offensively. I was so impressed with what he did offensively this year, you know, to turn right in the middle, you know, 5-6 weeks into the season and change completely offensively what they were doing and how the ball moved. And I know he was on about dribbling and stuff like that, but I was just so impressed because I know this, like in football, if you think you go into a season and you think it's going to go a certain way, and then all of a sudden one of your main cogs is something happens and you have to change gears, it's difficult. So I really respected that. But we'll see. I think a cool story is Oral Roberts. That point guard they got can go. And then the dude with the mustache for Loyola, I'm tripping over my words, but Loyola Chicago, man, he's a tough. They're going to be a tough out. They're well coached. They play together, that'll be fun. And then I'm excited. I'm going to go check out some women's soccer, man. We've got top 10 battle.
Yeah.
And Nikki is, you know, what a job she's done. And then hopefully baseball we can win two today. Kevin's going to get a start.
Real quick, is there any carryover? Because I know Hugs talks football analogies sometimes. When he talks about basketball. You do too. Do coaches look at things from, is there anything carry over there between the sports?
Yeah, I think competition's competition.
All right.
I really do. I use a lot of basketball examples in our team meeting. Here's an example that I don't know if this goes with what we're talking about, but last year at the beginning of the season, you know, we're into September, the basketball playoffs, NBA playoffs are going. And we used a ton of Jimmy Butler because if you remember how Jimmy Butler played in the Eastern Conference Finals and then in the NBA Finals, you talk about a competitor. And we were really harping on grit and how we had to be gritty. And what an example of grit, Jimmy Butler playing basketball last year in the NBA playoffs. So yeah, sports are sports. Competition's competition. You expect you appreciate excellence, and I think you can always learn from excellence regardless of what it's being done.
We only have time for one more question. Our final question will come from Mike Kazaza.
Hey Neil, how's it going?
Good. Mike, we missed you on Wednesday. I thought you were gonna go 2 days without coming on and asking questions.
Yeah, not that lucky, I guess. Sorry. But thanks for noticing. Kind of going back to the fluidity aspect of Kevin's question with practice. Is that important maybe with the quarterbacks too, just to keep them on their toes? I was just thinking today that you all did some things even in the short window that we saw that I didn't recognize that looked like, I don't know if it was new to me because we haven't seen stuff like that in a while, if it was just something that shake it up a little bit, but I would imagine that gets mundane for them too, just throwing into a net and doing drops and footwork or whatever. Can you just kind of discuss what ideas you have or maintain for that quarterback practice?
The truth of the matter is everything we do in practice is with the quarterback first and foremost in mind, from an offensive standpoint. And so I think that you have to train your quarterbacks to be ready at all times. I think as the game has evolved, we were talking about basketball, as the game of football has evolved, you very seldom, guys aren't in rhythm like they used to be. And what I mean by that is used to be three-step ball out, five-step ball out. Well, the game is changed so much, and how we've continued to evolve and train quarterbacks, it has to change with that. So a lot of what you saw today, one of the things we were really emphasizing was arm angles. And part of that is because Garrett's not as tall. And then one of the things that we're really harping with Jared is athletic movements within the pocket. Okay. And I think one of these Zooms, we talked about Tom Brady, how he did a phenomenal job of just moving. And so a lot of it, you know, today, what you all saw was the team segment was a kind of a team normal deal. And we were trying to move the pocket some with the quarterbacks on the move. We're doing a little bit of different protection to give both those quarterbacks an opportunity to have better vision. But a lot of the drills we're doing today, we're focused on mixing up arm angles, getting the quarterbacks in uncomfortable positions, and then really trying to challenge them, all right, because our defense was doing some things that were really tough looks for them as far as the secondary shell. And so I knew there were going to be some negative plays, which is okay. I just want to see how they react. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see how they react. So, like, can I give you an example? Garrett Green threw a pick because he never saw the guy. And so our progression went kind of here to here, and the safety bounced in. I don't know what you can see. I forget they have this screen behind me. But anyway, so the safety came to the middle, and he never saw him. So he threw a pick, which I wasn't surprised on that play, but I was more curious to see how he was going to react the very next play, and he did, he threw a completion. He took an easy completion. So I was excited about that because that was growth. If we did that back in the fall, that play would have led to another negative play, which would have led to another negative play. Does that make sense?
And that was West Virginia coach Neil Brown. Thanks for listening.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.